Frankie Valli, born Francis Castelluccio. Music written by Bob Gaudio. You're listening to The Four Seasons. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My co-host is Bob Belts.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Four Seasons, though.
Shut up. These are the greatest singers alive.
But it does fit in with our guest today, obviously.
Since her name's Dawn.
That's her name. I'm assuming that's why Mr. Clibby picked the song. So
Clibby, anyway. Genius. He is a genius. Yeah. He knows all my music. You really aren't into the Jersey Boys? What's the problem over there?
No, they're fine. You know, I'm a little bit younger than you are, so.
I like the whole story of Bob Gaudio hearing Frankie Valli's voice and saying, I can write music for that voice the rest of my life.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Four Seasons song?
Dawn.
He's a funny man. I am Bo Mitchell. That is Bob Belts.
Walk this Like a Man. I titled one of my books Walk Like a Man, so there you go. Yeah, but the publisher changed it to something.
I think Frankie Valli's like in his 80s now and can not only not hit the notes, but doesn't sing. What are we talking about?
Yeah, let's get on.
Let's get on. We have a program that you're listening to, so stay tuned, folks. You Get the Blessing exists because we introduce you each week to people that we know are impacting this community for Jesus Christ. So don't let that scare you off. I know you like the names. Tim Tebow, you can comfortably say the name Darius Thomas or Todd Helton. But when I say Jesus Christ, some people are like, don't say that name. Makes me a little nervous. Nothing to be nervous about. He actually loves you, even though he may not know you yet, and you may not know him yet. What are we doing on this show today? Hey, let me introduce Dawn.
Before we jump into Dawn, can I just do one other thing?
Oh, no, I want to do it. Okay, Bob Belts, who's my friend and ministry partner for 35 years and also happens to be the single best Bible scholar in the world, has a series going right now at Highline Community Church called Route 66. That is because there are 66 books in the Bible. Each Sunday at Highline Community Church at 10:30, he's teaching a whole book of the Bible. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, Bob, tell us what time we start and where we are and all
10:30,
that.
10:30, and we're still in Missouri on Old Route 66, and our corresponding book of the Bible we're going to look at this morning is 2 Samuel, which probably a lot of people maybe have never even read. So it's a great story and kind of a transition time. Got King David in there and the first king of Israel, Saul, and lots of action, and it's a good book, and we'll take you through the entire thing in 40 minutes this morning.
We actually have a group of folks that have heard about Highline Community Church by listening to the show.
Yeah, no, we have folks there that come up, and a lot of people that listen, you know, on Sunday mornings, but a number that have said, hey, we heard you on the radio and came and checked out the church, and so it's great. So if you're out there and you don't have a church home, we invite you.
You'll feel welcome, and you will be enlightened as to what the Holy Scripture says. Bob teaches it in a wonderful way. You won't be asked any questions. I think there's donuts, coffee. Mark Clibby will be there to introduce you to some Four Seasons music. But Highline Community Church. So
all right,
go off I-25 on the Orchard, just a little bit east of the freeway, and then take the first right turn, and you go south right next to the old Shepler's building, which is now called the Boot Barn, and two buildings south of that is Highline. You can't miss it. 10:30 today, if you're looking for a place to go, learn, go. And I want to introduce you now to our two special guests, and I don't know Jen's last name. Dawn, how do you say your last name?
Semin.
You got to get that right to you.
Semin.
Semin.
Yeah, Semin.
I could have gotten that, I guess, if I'd have looked at it a little better. Dawn Semin and Jen.
Seabolt.
All right. Well, good to have you guys. And we ask our guests each week to start by telling us a little bit about your background. So where are you from, Dawn Semin?
I am from Thornton, Colorado.
Heard of it, just a little north.
Yep.
And so you're like in your 20s and you have six grandchildren.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, nice going. That's a good start in life. You're a young, beautiful, well-spoken woman who's really, you do have six grandchildren.
I really do. have six grandchildren.
That's incredible. You guys were busy early, which is just fine.
Yes.
And how many kids?
Three kids. We were, my husband and I met in high school. So we've been married 30 years.
Good going. Yeah. I just celebrated my 45th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Condolences to my wife. Congratulations to me. So what was it like around your house growing up?
I was raised Catholic.
Did you get over that? Oh, sorry. Don't say that. Catholics are good, but sometimes
we do have friends that listen to our show. That when you say things like that, call me.
I know. I'm sorry. We love Catholics.
Okay. So I
let me ask you this. Yeah. Here's what I meant. Did you find Christ in the Catholic Church?
No. I'll be honest.
Sometimes it's tough. There's a lot of layers in
there. Yeah. I didn't understand it. I truly just didn't understand. I did go through the steps that I was supposed to go through. And then my husband and I in our early 20s, you know, started having children and finding that we weren't growing, we weren't stretching, we weren't, it was going through the motions. And so we went to a Christian church for the first time. My mom actually invited us to go, and people walked in with their Bible. And that, I was hooked. I didn't know you could do that. And so we went there for about 6 months, and I just started digging into God's word, and now I'm on staff at a church.
Now let me back up there. You know, there are phenomenal Catholic churches and phenomenal Christ-loving...
You ought to quit while you're ahead, actually.
Christ-loving priests, but I wasn't the first that came up with this. Didn't Martin Luther have sort of a thought about, hey, wait a minute, there's more to this.
Let's get back to Don anyway.
Okay, so Don,
like light, I said, I'm the one that gets the calls.
The light went on and you received Christ.
Yeah, I did understand who Jesus was, and I firmly believed in God as a kid. But the light went on about the relationship with him, not the motions necessarily, the religion, but who he was, and then I entered into a relationship with him. My husband and I did that in our early 20s, and
great.
So that has been our journey.
Let's go over here to Jen Seabolt. Jen, what about you? Where were you raised, and what was it like around your house growing up?
I was born in Colorado Springs, but my dad was in the Army, so that means we moved around a lot.
You had to go with him when he'd go to these different towns?
Not all the time, but my mom is actually full-blood German. That's where my parents met, so I did spend some time as a kid living in Germany.
Okay.
My parents are divorced, so I was raised by a single father, actually. And Jesus Christ and going to church was not a part of my life as a child at all. My grandparents had sort of introduced it, but it just was not a big piece of my childhood growing up. And actually, I found that much later in life, a really challenging place as a teenager with a good friend that introduced me to the church that I'm still at, that I'm actually on staff there as well. That's much further north even than Don and sort of separate from this whole cold weather care conversation, but I am on staff at First Baptist up in Longmont in Boulder County.
Let's talk about the Baptists for a minute. Do you think they know what's going on?
Yeah.
Let's just get in trouble with everybody listening. Well, I apologize. A blanket apology to all Catholics, and I love everybody. Even Trump. I'm just kidding. don't say that. I'm sorry. We did get one email on that. I think I just mentioned the name and got an email about it. Don't make your show political. Anyway, Jen, we're glad you got married and also have three kids, huh?
I do have three children. I am now a single mother, though.
Okay. Yeah. And how old are you?
12, 13, and the oldest is 16. Wow. All girls. So a little bit of a crazy emotional roller coaster in my house.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're looking for a beautiful, Christ-centered woman with three kids, here she is. Jen Seabolt. She's sitting here in the studio. All right, let's get on to what we're talking about today, cold weather care. Who wants to start and tell us what that is and what do y'all do?
All right, so cold weather care was formed. The idea happened in 2008 by three secular nonprofits. In a year, we spent time together developing what this would potentially look like as a mobile shelter. Now we enter into our eighth year of providing life-saving shelter and support to homeless in Adams County. It is a mobile shelter, which means there are four churches that take turns housing women, children, men, 7 nights at a time. And then we take turns on a rotating basis. And
so if they come to your facility, they can stay 7 nights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're currently at our church, and we're 4 nights into this. They'll leave Sunday morning and go to the next church, and then we'll see them back in about 3 weeks after that. So
homeless situation in Denver is bad news.
It is, and it's not getting better. Just even a few of the statistics of what we're encountering, there are currently 4,285 students identified as homeless in Adams County alone. And we've now taken the number one position over Denver. So we serve, the face of homelessness is huge. It's women, it's children, it's lots of families.
My, 4,285 students alone in Adams County.
Yes.
So, why does this happen, Bob? How come God doesn't step in and clean this up, put them all in the Ritz-Carlton?
Well, he's going to, but, you know, we're in between the resurrection and the second coming, and
he's not yet taking back the title deed to planet Earth.
Not yet.
No. Whew, and so. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "The poor and needy will always be among you, always." And we're supposed to open our hands and do something about it. And so that's the call of the church, and that's the call of the community to make a difference in their lives. So he said.
And when they come to the door of a church, do you have like in the gymnasium cots set up, or how's it look?
Yeah, so first, they don't know where the churches are. So there is a pre-screening that takes place. We do have a full-time case manager. So they will call in to Cold Weather Care, the intake line, and there's a screening that takes place. There's some credentials, there's some things that you have to go through to make sure that you're a good fit for the program. Once you pass that, then you're going to be directed to an intake site, which is not at our four churches, and go through some additional screening, some paperwork, and then you will enter the program and then go to the church.
Why is it important to make it a little tough for them to get through the process?
We do not want to contribute to the problem. We want to help them move beyond those barriers and become self-sufficient. So there's programs, there's resources that will wrap around them. It's to help them move towards self-sufficiency. It really is not to shelter homeless one more night. You'll enter, it's a 30-day program with the possibility of extending a little bit longer as long as you are meeting case management goals.
Hmm. I love this formula you've come up with.
Yeah, it is really to hopefully close those gaps and that they will never return to homelessness. Give them the tools. And so an example of that is we have life skills. So every Monday night, they go to a life skills class at our church, and it can be budgeting, it's forgiveness, it's personal hygiene, it's how to get a job, interviewing, resumes. So we're trying to build their toolbox.
Black, white, Hispanic, what's the mix?
Well, if I look at what's in our church right now, we have Hispanic, we have Black, and we have white.
All colors.
They're all there, yeah.
All right. And you're obviously a public speaker, so which one of those classes do you teach each week?
I don't teach any of the classes. I sit with them. We actually have someone that comes in and teaches the classes. My job is to sit with them, and I oversee the ministry at our church. My favorite part is getting to know their names and watching what God does all week long. They come in Sunday night. They're scared. There's no trust built yet. And now after night four, even this morning, seeing the smiles on their faces and actually looking forward to coming back. And the other part of that, I get this bird's eye view of watching what happens to our church. I mean, we have 229 volunteers who serve in this ministry alone at Northern Hills. And they don't know what they're getting into. They sign up. They know they're going to make a difference. But their lives are so transformed of the people who serve as well.
They get the blessing.
For sure.
So that's the voice of Don Simmon, one of our guests today, in charge of Cold Weather Care. And let's switch over now to Jen Seabolt. How did you get involved with Don and Cold Weather Care?
So I am very new to Cold Weather Care. I've been on staff for about a month, and I am their first executive director. They have made the shift from having a fiscal sponsor to being their own 501c3.
So you're not only involved, you're supposed to be running it now.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't tell anybody it's your first month. Just act like an expert.
Okay.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So they interviewed for this top spot because they needed now to say this is our own nonprofit and we need to abide by what the IRS says are the rules in handing out these nonprofit status organizations. So
yeah,
you're at the top of the food chain here. What drew you to cold weather care?
I think the mission really speaks to me. I grew up in a not terribly financially stable household. So I know what it's like to be very close to homelessness, to be staying with other people while we figured things out. That was a pretty common thing in my childhood. And I have just been incredibly moved by cold weather cares. They the amount of volunteers that they have, people who really put in their time, their love, and give back to this program. 573 volunteers last year. I mean, it's amazing the way that the four churches come together, the way that these people come together to really make a meaningful difference.
What kind of budget do y'all have?
It's a little bit, our projected budget this year is a little bit, close to 120 would be the projected budget for the upcoming year.
That goes for a few salaries, a few beds, a few pieces of equipment, and a lot of food?
Two salaries, just two paid employees, so myself and Jay, case manager. So he's the one working directly with the guests in the program and working with them weekly on their goals, things like that. So those are the paid salaries. But yeah, you know, the other operational costs, transportation costs, supplies, all of those things that go into it. But yeah, volunteers definitely help to keep the price down.
500 plus, you said, volunteers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Miraculous. So we're running this incredible ministry, saving lives for only 120 grand. Folks, start thinking about how much of that you would like to donate, because when you write the check, you get the blessing. You get to stay warm in your home. You get to keep working at your job, but God's going to use you with these ladies. Clib, how much are we giving? 500 we're in for. Our
Great.
Program. So
that's awesome. Thank
and
you.
You'll do it Tuesday? All right. So we're happy to help a little bit. And that's just to make up for the whole comments I made about the Catholic and the Baptist. If I hadn't said those things, we'd have been really rolling. Okay, so back over to you, Don. Pretty fortunate to find an executive director like Jen, huh?
Yeah, yeah. The cool part, after year three, in 2012, the secular nonstops, no, I'm sorry, secular nonprofits stepped out, and the four churches said, we're not done. We know God's not done with this. So the four churches came together and said, how do we do this ourselves? 2012, we took over the leadership of that, and we've been doing that now since then. And as we realized, okay, we're growing, what is our next step? And that was to move toward developing that 501c3. We've had the steering committee, which is a member from each of the churches, working like crazy. Not only are we running the shelter, but then we're planning and dreaming and just growing. And it was just time to bring in that executive director to just tie all of these pieces together, because the board's just been working so hard. So just to see that growth and what God has done in that. But also as the churches partnering together to keep this Christ-centered. That's what this is founded on, and is just center to everything that we're doing.
It's exciting. So I'm thinking for $5,000 or $10,000, maybe $20,000, you could be like one of the lead givers to this organization. Cold weather care, taking people off the street, not just for a night of warmth and safety, but for a process that they've designed to get these folks ready to plug back into society. Mm-hmm. I think it's very exciting, don't you, Bob?
Absolutely, yeah.
So thank you for your all commitment to Christ and to this ministry. What do we got coming up specifically that we need? Do we just need money for general operating?
Yeah, that's really it. And the cool part about this is the churches, we have all the volunteers. There's six teams at each church that pulls this thing off. And so all those meals are provided and donated. The operating piece of that is going to be gas cards for the guests who need help with gas and bus tickets and laundry. I mean, just to wash a load of laundry so you can go to an interview, it just the dignity that adds to that. So those are the primary resources that we're doing. But to pull that off, you know, 6 months out of year, October to April, it's just vital. And we have watched our budget not be full and ready to go for the year, and watch how God provides all year long, you know. So we would like to, we have big visions and dreams for potentially having an all-weather care, or a cold-weather care Brighton, a cold-weather care Thornton, a cold-weather care, the need is great. We are so grateful to add 20 beds. There's only 62 beds in all of Adams County. We had 20. I mean, and I just gave you the, yeah, so it's, the need is great. And we're grateful to be able to provide what we do, but we'd like to be able to provide more.
I would too. But where's that scripture, Bob, when you're the least of these?
Matthew chapter 25. I was just thinking about that, and we refer to this periodically when our guests are engaged in loving on folks that you know, that are really hurting, and thinking about that, you know, Jesus, you know, said that when you did this to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. I know that was, Mother Teresa, that was a very, you know, powerful scripture in her life. Did you know she was a Catholic? There you go, Bo. One of my great heroes, anyway. But she said that, when she had gone to India. And initially, I don't, you know, a lot of people probably don't know, she actually was teaching in a girls' school in India. It was very sheltered existence, and it wasn't until she was traveling across town, I think one day from one school to another, that she saw what was happening on the streets, and when God, you know, called her to, you know, kind of love on the most unlovely. But she said that text, what it began to do in her mind, that when she would see, a leper that perhaps had been left to die, which where she started, you know, taking them in and just trying to love them mm-hmm. as they were dying, she said she would see that. And what the thought that would go through her mind is, there is Jesus in a desperate situation. And so for her, that was a very real thing. And, you know, again, I think that when people involve and begin to serve in those kind of ways, I think that kind of a mindset of, you know, this is really how we serve Christ, by serving them, can be a powerful, very powerful thing. So,
and I like looking at you two and thinking about all organizations rise and fall on leadership, mm-hmm. and you guys are just going to get better because of who you are and how you think, what you're doing. I also like to think of something I wrote, the five F's. Unless you stay focused, fired up, follow through till it's finished off, everything gets fouled up. Mm. And I can tell this is your heart, and you're focused on this. So let's start giving information where our listeners can get in touch with you and give money and get to know you. So how do we do that?
I will direct you to the Cold Weather Care website, and that is coldweathercare.org. You can make an online donation there on the donation page. You can also mail in a donation to Cold Weather Care, and we have a P.O. Box 351-594 in Westminster, with that zip being 80035. If you want information and would just like to find out more about volunteering or how you can help, we have some people contact us about how their business can help raise some funds. You can go to the website and just contact us there in our contact site, or just email at info@coldweathercare.org.
I have this wonderful feeling that there's a couple listening, and maybe it's not a couple. Maybe it's just a woman or a man that are going to say, this is for me. I want to meet you guys, take you to lunch, and jump right in with the easy part, checkbook Christianity, and writes you a big donation. You got that feeling, Bob?
I don't, but that doesn't mean that yours isn't legitimate.
Mine's legitimate. Somebody,
I'm thinking we're clear on the south end of town, and we work a lot with an organization called Love Inc. Yes, and but I don't know if they know about anything like this in our part of the city. Is that, you know, I mean, obviously you'd like to see it expand, but.
Yeah, so Severe Weather Shelter Network is Jeffco, and they've also come over into the Aurora. Love Inc. is over Severe Weather Shelter Network. And so I met with their executive director several years ago when they were starting to form this. And so we were able to share some of our model with them. And that's how we're learning. That's how we learned, was just by sharing and learning from Interfaith Hospitality Network and some of the other local organizations. So yes, I'm very familiar with that one.
So Don Simmon, Jen Seabolt, empowering people to regain control of their lives, not just giving them a bed, keeping them warm, but empowering them, putting them through these wonderful classes and experiences and getting them ready. So pray for these folks, would you, Bob? Pray for Don and Jen and the blessing that they are to this community.
Well, Lord, we realize that there are people that are in desperate situations out there, and Lord, I think sometimes we're unaware of how many of them are, you know, young people, like students, like we've just been talking about, families with young kids that really need help. And I know that it breaks your heart to see that. And obviously, you put a call on us as your followers to, you know, to feed the hungry and to, you know, clothe the naked. And we want to pray for Don and Jen and their whole organization, Father, that you would provide the resources they need to do their ministry and their job. And Lord, I would pray that you would just multiply their efforts, and Lord, that what they're doing would spread to many churches, and that we could be better at this part of what it means to follow you, Jesus. So bless them. And I do pray, Lord, for as Bo said, someone listening out there, that you're tugging on their heart. And Lord, that they would be responsive and obedient and follow through and get engaged in this ministry. Cold Weather Care, Lord, we'd ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Coldweathercare.org. Come on, folks, step up. You're going to get blessed by this. And thank you, Don and Jen, for being on our program.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing. We'll see you next week.